Now we come to the last of the great kings. And this man, Josiah, was a great king. Not only was he a great king, the greatest revival took place during the time of his reign. Will you notice now, verse 1, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. Notice how young these kings are? Why are they so young when they begin? Well, Papa got killed. God removed him. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jedidah, and she's the daughter of Adiah of Boscath. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And he walked in all the way of David his father. And he turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. Now the sun's come up again. The light is shining again in the land. Now this man begins a movement that led to the greatest revival these people ever had after David and Solomon. Now, there are certain things that we want to say that are important about revival. I believe the first thing we all need as Christians to recognize is revival is personal and individual. I don't think that it will begin as a mass movement. I don't think it ever has in the past, by the way. You go back and look at the great revivals in the past, and very candidly, I'm of the opinion that you will discover that they began with certain individuals. My firm conviction today is that the only thing that can save our nation at this time is revival. It's either revival or revolution. I'm confident it has to be one or the other in this dark hour in which we have come as a nation. So I want us to look at it because our nation needs a revival. There is corruption in government at all levels. There's corruption in all organizations. Immorality and lawlessness abound. Sex and liquor, drugs, filthy magazines, foul pictures, scandals and riots. And this nation right now is wallowing like a pig in the swine's sty. We're like the prodigal in a far country in the pig pen, down with the pig. And it's revival or revolution that stares us in the face. Creeping socialism, political parties willing to sell the birthright of this nation in order to stay in power, and the church under the blight of apostasy. Liberalism controls the organized church, and there is a brazen denial of the Word of God even in so-called evangelical circles. And the Word of God's been lost in the church. There are atheists today in the pulpit, and that's what had happened in that day. It's quite interesting. You listen to these folk on television and radio from all walks of life, and you've got to be an oddball to get on television today, as you well know. You've got to have some weird sort of thing. Everybody that you hear, they've got a plan, a program to get you and me straightened out and to get us to do something. And the trouble of it is I'm being taxed to death. I don't know about you, but this is going to have to come to an end one of these days. So that today, all of them, they're telling everybody else, but they're doing nothing for themselves. And as I listen to some of these weirdos, I think that probably a revival could help them. And if they had only get straightened out, be a lesson to us. Revival is personal. And that's where it'll have to begin. It's not a mass movement. This man, King Josiah, right at the top, had to get straightened out. And what we need today is not politicians calling other politicians crooks. It's one politician saying, I've been wrong, and I'm going to get right with God. That would be such a strange thing that I'm afraid it would frighten the nation if it happened. But it's what we need today. We need some man to say, my heart is fixed. Oh, God, my heart is fixed. Will you notice there's a sound here now of an abundance of rain? Verse 3, came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam, the scribe to the house of the Lord, saying, go up to Hilkiah the high priest, that he may sum the silver, which is brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door have gathered of the people, and let them deliver it into the hand of the doers of the work, that have the oversight of the house of the Lord, and let them give it to the doers of the work, which is in the house of the Lord, to repair the breaches of the house. And I like this. The Lord's money was to be used for those that are doing something for him. My friend, when you find out that today any organization or any individual is not doing something for the Lord, I don't care who they are, they do not deserve our support at all. God says, let's turn this money over to the doers. Somebody's going to do something. Verse 6. Unto carpenters and builders and masons, and to buy timber and hewn stone to repair the house. Howbeit, there was no reckoning made with them of the money that was delivered into their hand, because they dealt faithfully. I tell you, there are certain churches today that are always issuing financial statements, and you can't even believe them. I tell you how they can patch them up and make them actually very deceitful. And they say, well, you know, figures don't lie. That's true. The liars really figure today. And we have here marvelous men. These men, they didn't have to give a report. They were faithful. They could be trusted. Now, the first thing they did was to repair the temple. The temple wasn't in use, you see. In fact, it had just become sort of a warehouse, a storage bin for the odds and ends. Now, the church today is very much like that. It's in great need of repair, not the buildings. They are building beautiful new buildings. I stayed in a motel back east some time ago, and there was a church right across the street. I was told it cost $500,000. The week I was there, I noticed that on Sunday morning, before I left for where I was speaking, that church had about 25 cars out in front for a Sunday morning service. They didn't have many more on Sunday night, and it was dark the rest of the week. That place needs repairing, let me tell you. And our conservative churches, they are torn asunder by strife and bickering. Huge plants, attractive. But my friend, the Spirit of God is not there. It looks as if the Lord Jesus has said, your house is left unto you desolate, and the church today is not witnessing. It should be out witnessing. You frighten the church when you talk to them about witnessing for Christ today. And we do not need any more pious platitudes and the saccharine sweetness that we're hearing and the backslapping and the hand pumping. And may I say, some of these service clubs, these knife and fork clubs meet during the week, they do it better than the church does, this business of backslapping. What we need today, friends, is to get the church inside straightened out. And then there must be the third thing that we have here, and that was a return to the Word of God. And will you notice, verse 8, Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the scribe, I found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. They lost the Bible, and they lost it in the church. And now they found the Word of God. And that's the only thing that you've got as a weapon, friends. It's the Word of God that's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. There's no shortcut today, easy route. There's no new method to revival. And we have a flood tide of books on Christian experience. And I've looked over quite a few of these books. May I say to you, these books are as dead as a doornail. What is the problem? They are presenting a method instead of presenting the Word of God. Nobody seems to be saying, let's come back to the Word of God. Oh, somebody said, but we need to read so-and-so's book. No, we don't. We need to come back to the Word of God and forget what so-and-so's book says. In fact, the matter is you can forget what Vernon McGee's book says. Don't need that. We need to get back to the Word of God today. It's not the book of the month. It's the book of the ages that we need today. And that's the thing that is important. I was with a very fine young preacher And he was questioning me, and I began to question him. He wanted to know my method of study and that sort of thing. And I found out that he knew all the latest books. In fact, he rather embarrassed me. He said to me, "Have you seen so-and-so?" And I said, "No." "You seen so-and-so?" And I said, "No." "You seen so-and-so?" And I said, "No, I haven't seen it." And he said, "Have you quit reading books?" I said, "Yes, I'm retired now." I said, "I, very frankly, pretty much read up, and the modern books that are coming out don't seem to interest me at all. They're all presenting a method." And he said, "Well, what are you reading?" I said, "I'm reading the Bible." And I then asked him the pointed question. I said, "How much time do you spend in a week in the Word of God?" My friend, you'd be amazed if you heard he spent less than an hour in the Word of God. And he'd already told me about the problems he was having and what I suggested. Very easy now to give him a remedy. He needed to get to the Word of God. Verse 9, "And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, 'Thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house. They delivered into the hand of them that do the work and have the oversight of the house of God.' And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, 'Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book.' And Shaphan read it before the king." Why, they lost the Word of God in that day. You know, that's a terrible place to lose the Bible, is in church, but that's where it's been lost today. How many churches in this land really rest upon the Word of God and preach it? Now, I thank God for the many letters that I get. And all over this land, there's still many faithful pastors. We're trying to hold up their hands and help as best we possibly can. But my friend, how many today have departed? They've lost the Bible in the church. And you remember, the parents of Jesus lost him at the temple. Believe me, Jesus is lost in church today, and the Bible is lost in church. Both of them have been lost today. And here, they find the Word of God. Where do they find it? Out on the dump heap? No. They find it in the temple. They lost it. And friends, the Bible has to be the beginning of revival. Now, I think it's wonderful that there's so many groups praying for revival. I wish they'd spend a little more time in the Word of God, because it's a return to the Word of God that brings revival. Oh, how tremendous this is. Verse 11, "It came to pass when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, he rent his clothes." It wasn't one of these nice little groups I hear about. "Oh, we're going to have an evangelistic campaign. We're going to have a banquet and call in all the preachers, and we're going to talk sweet talk, and we're going to talk optimistically, and we're going to get everybody together." Oh, you are? My friend, what we need to do is to get together and hear the Word of God. And if we'll really hear the Word of God today, there'll be some rending of our clothes. We'll go down on our faces before him. I heard of a man, he's a wonderful Christian. He got up before a group of church officers, and he told them, he says, "What this church needs is for this group of officers to get out on their faces before God and repent." You know what they did? They got rid of him. They didn't want him around. I want to tell you today, many so-called Bible churches, many so-called fundamental churches, many so-called evangelistic meetings today are as far from the Bible as anything possibly can be. Oh, I tell you, if we really came to the Word of God, it would bring conviction. And you would hear weeping, and there'd be rending of clothes today. That's when you have revival. We're not seeing it in America today. Pray for our land, friends. We need prayer today. We don't need all these meetings that are taking place, and we always turn in a healthy report of the thousands. Oh, my friend, we need to get to the Word of God, and when we do, it'll have its effect.